The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello. Hello and welcome, everyone, to Happy Hour. Lovely to be with you. So many different time zones joining us in this moment in time. So for today's practice, I'd like to invite us to consider this quote that I heard earlier. And I don't know who's attributed to, actually. I didn't get the chance to search, but here it is. Comparison is the enemy of contentment. Comparison is the enemy of contentment. So it's such a profound statement, and I want to unpack it a little bit and also maybe add some more to it. There are so many different ways that perhaps comparison shows up, can show up in our lives. And I remembered Gail has this teaching where he comes with an artificial flower or something, holds it up and says, you know, here's a flower. And then, here's a similar one that just came through. Theodore Roosevelt said, comparison is the enemy of joy. I like that too. That's a good one. Comparison is the enemy of joy. Yeah, joy and contentment both. So I'll talk about both. How's that? This is great. Thanks for sending that to me, Steve. Great. So Gil has this teaching where he shows up with a flower sometimes and the sense of, oh yeah, the flower is perfect in and of itself. The flower is perfect in and of itself. And then brings up another one, like a taller one, or, you know, and then a shorter one. Then there's a sense of like the mind wants to compare, oh, this is bigger, smaller, not good enough. Whereas in and of itself, it's perfect in and of itself, given the causes and conditions of this flower. So comparison can show up in different ways. Sometimes we compare experiences, like, oh, this soup I'm having right now. No, this restaurant, oh, this other soup was better. And you're always seeking in your mind the perfect soup, the best tasting soup. So you're never satisfied because, oh yeah, the one that you had, which actually you're misremembering the taste of it. Maybe you're remembering to be better than it actually was because, I don't know, you were hungry or you were with a group of friends, so the soup tasted really good, but that soup was the best soup. This just not good enough, the one I'm having right now, or as a restaurant, or making it at home, like, oh, it's just like, oh, not good enough. So there's a sense of depletion, there's a sense of lack of contentment, or lack of joy, lack of appreciation, instead of appreciating what is here, what is right now, all the possibilities in this soup, in this moment, in this amazing soup that this is, showing up just as it is. And sometimes that soup is us in terms of comparison. We compare ourselves. Oh, that other person who is, I don't know, taller and more famous or more successful or has more friends or more likes on Facebook. I don't know. Just I'm being silly, but use your own imagination, you know, has published more or written more, or, I don't know, is more this XX, comparing ourselves to some other hypothetical person. So some other person, whereas each one of us has unique occasions, unique opportunities, unique obstacles, unique challenges, and in Buddhism, unique causes and conditions. We all have unique causes and conditions. So to say, oh, well, I wasn't born as this other person. I mean, they are who they are. And I am what I am. So how can I be inspired? So instead of comparison, I want to bring in the concept of inspiration. How can I be inspired to be the most ethical, most kind, most giving person I can be to fulfill my potential? And to remember that life isn't about getting. We think it's about getting. Life really isn't about getting. It's about giving. It's about giving to others. Our life, the best way we can live and satisfy, to the best way we can fulfill our potential, is to become a gift. It become a gift, not just to ourselves, but to become a gift unto the world. So let that be your measure of contentment, measure of joy, or measure of aspiration is what I want to bring in tonight. So comparison is the enemy of joy, as Theodore Roosevelt said, or as I misremembered it, comparison is the enemy of contentment. And again, so many different dimensions of this, both in our experiences and also with things, with events, with friends, with just experiences in life, if we're comparing always. And the other dimension is whether we're comparing ourselves, this person who is me, to some idealized version. The wrong way of really framing it. If we are bringing comparison, maybe it's a way of aspiration. Oh, how can I be? How can I be the best, the kindest? I don't know, just a sense of values, really thinking of the values, not in the way of, again, getting, but giving. So that's the frame I want to set up tonight for our practice. And with the guided meditation tonight, as always, we'll start by settling in the body with the breath. Then I'll bring some invitations and settling in the moment, and just a set of settling into contentment and joy in the present moment. Some gentle invitations. So that's the plan for tonight. All right, let's sit together, friends. So arriving in our seat. Arriving here in this moment in time. In this moment that has never been and will never be like this, experienced through this mind, through this heart of ours, unique mind and heart. Landing, embracing, as if we're opening our arms wide, wide, wide. Opening the arms of our hearts wide, wide, wide. To embrace, fully embrace the world as it shows up right now in this body, in this moment. This, just this, not comparing, just relishing. Even if there is discomfort present in the body or mind, can we open up to this evanescent, impermanent, moment in time? And then letting the body relax, letting the body land, release here. releasing thoughts that arise. It's okay. Thoughts will arise. Smilingly releasing them in this moment, just returning to the awareness of the breath, the body, this moment in time, expansively letting the body, the feet, to feel, to appreciate being connected to the ground, to the earth. Just this breath, not comparing this breath to the previous one or vying for the next one. Just this breath, this perfection of this breath right here. This moment, fresh, amazing, miraculous, never lived before. Such an awe to even have awareness, to be alive. So amazing. Just to be alive, have consciousness of this breath, these sensations. Just this breath, the amazing miracle of this breath in this moment. The entirety of the breath. Breathed in, breathed out. The miracle of this breath reverberating through the whole body. Softening, relaxing. Every out-breath, every in-breath, enlightening, enlivening, enlivening. Bringing more energy in and more lightness. Now, is it possible as we're sitting, being breathed, to open up to gentle appreciation? Gentle appreciation. For whatever is arising in the sphere of experience right now. Most prominently, the breath, sensations of the body, sense of aliveness, maybe any pleasantness in the body. Maybe there's pleasantness associated with the breath being breathed. Gently swaying. Maybe the mind realizes, wow, this moment is actually pretty good. Maybe there's more contentment available in this moment, more joy than I realized. If I just open up ever so gently, not pushing, just opening up to the possibility, appreciating the joys, the delights, pleasantnesses, comforts. Even if coexisting with discomfort, there's an overall spaciousness that's here. The mind here, not in the past or future, just here. Just gently enjoying the breath. And if there's a part of your mind, your heart, that's negating, that's fighting against this moment, it's okay. Include that part. Include that part. Don't throw it away. Shut it out. Exile it. That part is included also, if there is any. No part left out. No part left out. And as we expand, opening up to appreciation in this moment, whatever is arising, pleasant or unpleasant included. Appreciating it just as it is. Can we open up also? Expanding from this moment in time expanding temporally, not with our thoughts, not thinking, but the possibility of all the causes and conditions that have brought us to this moment in our lives. So many of them gifts, good fortune. We consider in our earthly terms, some of them challenges. All of which uniquely, all these occasions, so many that perhaps are neutral, just the zeitgeist we were born in, parents, upbringing, culture, random coincidences, just all these causes and conditions, so many events that have made this unique being that is me possible in this moment. Product of so many causes and conditions. Not independent of them. How unlikely was it, is it that we're even born? That this being who's us should even be here? We appreciate the mystery, the intertwined, the interbeing, interconnected mystery of our existence. And let there not be a comparison with other amazing mysteries of existence, other beings with their causes and conditions. Appreciating them. Wow, all these miracles, all these points of light. And this is mine. This light of mine. How can I be the brightest I can be? Not comparing to others, but aspiring to shine brightly for the sake of myself and the sake of others, to give my light, my warmth, my goodness. In this brief flash of lightning, that is my life on the cosmic scale. To aspire, not compare, but aspire to shine brightly according to whatever my values. Goodness of my values, my North Star is. Let that be the measure of the brightness of my light, my goodness, shining in the world. Just being embodied, not thinking, just being embodied, letting yourself be breathed. Letting these reflections be breathed in and out without so much thought, but dropped into the body, resonating. Maybe only a residue remains. Just being breathed. The Buddha said, be a light unto yourself. Can we be a light? Can we be a light unto ourselves and others? Making measure of giving. Making giving the measure of our success, not getting. Shining our light of goodness. May it be metta, gladness, goodwill for others, generosity. Kindness. Compassion. Gladness, joy, letting our joy shine brightly for the sake of ourselves and the world. What a beautiful gift to give to ourselves and others. Our joy. Our contentment. And for the last moments of this practice period, honoring, appreciating ourselves for having shown up. If any judgments are arising for what happened or did not happen, can we be kind? Can we be generous to ourselves for having done our best, given all the causes and conditions? It's like this. It had to be like this. Or it would have been different. Appreciating ourselves and the gift of causes and conditions for being here now, together practicing in Sangha. And offering the light of our goodness to all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere, including ourselves, be safe. Be happy, have health and ease. May all beings be free. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your practice. So, we have some time for any reflections that might have come up, any questions, comments, aha moments, complaints. It's all welcome. What did you notice this practice tonight around the theme of comparison is the enemy of joy/contentment? Both internally and externally. Radha, please.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm outside and I was, there's a lot of wildlife where I am. There's a lot of bird life. And I was kind of feeling into, like I could hear the bees and the birds. And, just kind of feeling how, like, they each have their own kind of unique song and call, and they don't You know, it's like the bee knows what it needs to do. It knows what its work is, and it doesn't. You know, I saw a meme once where that was like, it was like a bunch of animals, and it was like, you know, an elephant doesn't try to be a dolphin or something like that. Yeah, so like, there's kind of the sense of relief that comes with that kind of self-acceptance, is what I was feeling.
Lovely, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. It touches me so deeply, your experience and the metaphors that have come to you. Why did you say an elephant doesn't try to be a, oh, I forget the animal's ears, but one animal doesn't try to be another, an elephant doesn't try to be a bird. It's just that radical self-acceptance. Absolutely. And appreciating the bird you are, or the frog you are, or whatever, lovely, or the puppy. It's so that radical self-acceptance of, yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Radha. Lovely, lovely. Thank you. Lovely. Yeah, Claire, please.
Thank you. I think, well, there are two things.
Claire, there's a lot of noise in the background.
That's strange. I'm not hearing it because I've got a headset on.
Yeah,
maybe if I take the headset off, does that help?
Yeah, there's a lot
you
of
hear
echo.
Me
yeah,
the it's better. I can't hear you, of course, but that's okay. That's why I wear the headset. But anyway, the two things that came to mind, first of all, and I'm sure you know this, but not everybody may. I happen to love, like a lot of church music. Are you hearing some another voice?
Yeah.
I don't have anything else going on here. It's so weird. I don't know where it shows
up. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to shut down and come back in.
Okay.
Okay?
Right,
I don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Claire. Yeah. So any other reflections, any other, before we go to groups and practice together? You can also type in chat. If you type only to me, I won't read your name, so it will be private. Just read your reflection. If you type it to everyone, I'll read your name and your reflection. Yeah, such beautiful reflection so far. Love that. Yeah, beautiful. Here's another one. After a particularly mindless incident yesterday, mortifying and very upsetting, the idea that given causes and conditions, it could not have been otherwise is soothing. It's difficult to accept such a self if one doesn't feel deserving of it, but I'm working on that as well. Yeah, thank you for that reflection. Yeah. 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 So many causes and conditions, and it's such a combination, right? And this is the beauty of this, the dependent origination, which is one way to see the causes and conditions. Actually, cause and conditions is the superset of dependent origination teaching, which is so many cause and conditions coming together, giving rise, and accepting that if things could have been different, they would have been, just brings freedom. And of course, one of those, and usually actually people ask at this time, well, so how about volition? Well, yes, volition is one of those cause and conditions that we put in place, and we make it more likely that we behave more mindfully or more kindly. You know, it's all of those are set into place. It's not like everything is on our shoulders. I will behave this way. It's all causes and conditions. Another reflection, may we all have people in our lives to acknowledge and celebrate our special gifts and skills along with us. Yes, may it be so. So I'd like to invite us now to turn to practice together and started to give more invitation, more instructions as to how to be in small groups. As people have said, it brings more of a sense of safety. So So let me just say a couple of words about groups before I set them up. So you'll be in groups of roughly size 3, depending on where the chips fall, could be 2 to 4. And the invitation is that what you have practiced now silently with your eyes closed, here are these wayfarers like you, these travelers. Now you get to connect if you wish. It's a very sacred, beautiful opportunity to connect. It's not just, oh, go talk amongst yourselves, people. It's, oh yes, honoring yourself, honoring each other just for a few minutes and sharing as little or as much as you wish about your practice and holding witness. That's a big part of it. It's about giving. It's not about impressing, not about educating. It's about offering, if you wish, what has come up for you as to support you and others as a gift, to hold present, to hold presence for them. Also, witness them, see their beauty, just as one reflection says, see their special gifts, special cause and conditions, to see that. So this is really the opportunity of the groups. And please speak from your own experience, not comment or manage or other people's experience, asking questions, not serving as a facilitator either, just staying with your own experience and honoring others. And maybe they offer their silence. Maybe that's what they need to offer tonight, and that's okay too. And you can start with alphabetically if you wish. Maybe we'll do spiral. So each person will say a nugget instead of doing a long monologue, which is sometimes we do. Just share one nugget, one thought of what came up. If you have like 5 nuggets, just share one. The other person, next person in the alphabet, first name, will share another nugget if they wish, or they say pass. And then the next person, and then we'll come to you. Just you go around a few times this way, just co-creating, going around to see what happens. So I will create the breakout rooms now with, here we go. Okay, so in AIM, here we go. Okay, I'm going to open them. Take care of yourselves and each other in kindness. Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. The rooms are closed. Everybody's back. We've got just a couple of minutes for any reflections. I see 2 hands just shot up. Okay. Richard, what's up?
I understand what you say by comparison and sense of like, I used to be better or other people have more than me, that kind of thing. But there's also the kind of reframing of, a lot of people have it a lot worse than me. Mm-hmm. Or there are a lot of people in my boat right now, which is a really powerful.
There's a lot of people in my what right now?
In my boat. I mean, who share the same, whatever the tsuris is, you know, that right. Really sort of like depersonalizes things.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So your question is, what about that?
Yeah.
So it really depends. It depends how the spirit in which that is taken. Because sometimes if we just get into the comparison game, if you go like, oh gosh, like wow, lucky me, I'm not them, right? Sometimes it can be pity. Sometimes it can be like not very helpful. You just don't go there. But what you're saying is slightly different, a sense of common humanity. Oh, it's kind of opening the heart. So I'm not quite sure if that's comparison. It's just a little bit of appreciating the challenges that other people have. So maybe that's how I would put it a little bit. Yeah. Thanks, Richard. Excellent question. Neil, please.
So how do you like enjoy physical pain, right? Which, yeah. I mean, you know, be grateful for the current moment if it is dominated by physical pain.
Yeah. That's a very good question. So I think the crux of it is this. It's the dominated or perceiving it to be dominated. I think pain can sometimes limit our minds, and having had plenty of pain, can limit our mind to think that that's the only thing there is, that the experience is dominated by pain. So what I'm inviting you, and I was inviting you gently to open up to, and little bit here, this again, this meditation isn't quite focused on it primarily, but that there is so much more present. The pain can be here also, but there could be so much more present. So appreciating the panoply of everything there is. So that's what I'm going to invite you when there is pain present in the body, back pain, like intense pain. See if there's more spaciousness around it that can hold it all, so that the mind doesn't get tied around just that. That's my invitation for you to explore, Neil.
Thank you.
And this is our last, I think we're out of time. Okay, quick, if you can make this quick.
Just curious about how to work things out with comparison minds. Because I think that I'm just like so many comparison mind about, instead of appreciating the process of where I am at my in this time, and I'm just comparing the other person, oh, he will be here and here and here. It just makes me suffer.
Yeah. So it's good that you see that comparison is making you suffer. And the question is like, how do I work with it? And I think part of what I've shared all evening, or not all evening, but this hour is about ways to just not go there. Bring the mind back. And if your mind is really used to comparison, getting into that game, it's going to be like mindfulness. Like, come back, sweetie. Come back, mind. Just don't go there, sweetie. Consider the perspective of cause and condition. So it just has to be reoriented until it becomes the proclivity of your mind. So
not even in a meditation, just in real life.
In real life, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. So, dear all, thank you so much for your practice, for cultivating your heart, your mind, for your own sake and the sake of all beings everywhere. May all beings be well. May all beings be free. Thank you. And now.